A breath of kindness is more moving than a gale of flattery. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. A breath of kindness is more moving than a gale of flattery. How do you compare a breath of kindness and a gale of flattery? A gale of flattery is, by the word's definition, what? False.
Yeah.
Flattery is something that you're saying because you want to get a result. It may be true, but the way you're using it, it's false. The way you're using it to manipulate a circumstance or a person is a false thing, because you may be flattering somebody with words you don't even believe. When you say, oh, you look so gorgeous today, you look so beautiful, oh, you are the most marvelous person in the world, it's just such a delight to be near with you. When I'm with you, I just feel like I'm lifted up to the skies. And the other person cannot help but feel good about that. But watch it. Watch it. That's a sapper at work. They're going to get from you what they want. And you may not even notice it. And then they come back a little later. Oh, you did that so beautifully. You knit that. How can you do that so perfectly? You know, it must have taken you a century to do that, you know. And then a little while later, they come back and they say, oh, my goodness, when I eat at this table and you are the cook, I am so satisfied. Anybody else cooking, it just doesn't quite come to the equal of yours. Watch it, watch it. Don't knock anybody to put praise on me. Oh, yeah. No, your cooking is just outstanding and marvelous and wonderful, you see. And then they back off right away. They stop saying it's better than someone else. And you see, that type of flattery, you understand very quickly. It may be true, and it may be true that it's true, but it may be false that you're saying it because you don't believe it. And if you're saying something that you don't believe, it is flattery in its worst level of beingness. And so a breath of kindness is more moving than a gale of flattery. If you say to someone that you hadn't been speaking to for a long time, hey, Mom, I just thought I'd call you and say I love you. Bye. Boo. What's Mom going to do? She's going to call back. Is that you calling me, sweetheart? Not even sweetheart. You know. Is that you calling me? Yeah, Mom, why? Did you say you like me? Hey, sure, Mom. I mean, you know, what the heck? What else is there? You're wonderful. Well, thank you very much. Now, that's a little bit of kindness. That's not flattery. That's a little bit of kindness. And you watch it. You back off quickly. Thanks, Mom. I got to go now. But I won't talk to you. I'll talk to you another time. Let it sink in. Let the little act of kindness sink in. And when the little act of kindness sinks in, then the next time you do call your mom and you say, well, Mom, I was just thinking about you. How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you. Well, you know, you are something very special. I know we haven't been, you know, on each other's telephone list for a long time, but you're real special, and I just can't help thinking that when I think about you, it's special. Well, you know, Mom, I got to go now. I've got the kids' diapers changed. You know, see you later, you know, and off. And you see, that's an act of kindness, an act of developing a relationship, developing something that's what you really feel. You really feel that this is the only mother you'll ever have. This is the only wonderful being in your whole life who spent her last 20 years raising you into the fabulous person that you are. And regardless that you don't see eye to eye on everything, call and say, I love you. And then, hang up. Get off. If you give a compliment, say, Ingeborg, you knit so nicely. I'm so proud of you. And then go away. And then Ingeborg is going to be all morning long sitting with that, I knit so nicely, in her mind. You know, it's going to be lovely. That's an act of kindness. What other? Yeah, and that's not flattery. See? Flattery is when you say something you don't believe. An act of kindness is when you say something you believe and do something you believe. And Are we all able to do acts of kindness in our life? Sure we can. A lot of people, they come into God Unlimited University of Healing, and they say, wow, 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 I found what I've been looking for all my life, all my life, all my life, you know. And they say, Herb, this is wonderful, this is wonderful. And I say, good, I'm glad you like it. I'm going to tell my husband and my kids and everybody about it. And I said, hey, that'd be wonderful. Get all these new students that pay full price and let payment plan, but full price. And I said, that's wonderful. Oh, I don't know that I'm that good a salesman. Well, hey, don't sell them. Don't tell them anything. You're taking this by correspondence. Keep it to yourself. It's your secret. Now, what you can do is you can live what you're learning. You can live what you're reading, what you're so excited about. You can live it. Now, what is an item that you're so excited about? Well, I'm the creator of my world. Wonderful. Now, how are you creating your family? Well, we've had tough... Shut up. Don't talk about the past. How are you creating your family now? Well, I'm creating them as being loving, gentle, kind, and happy, and stuff like that. Good. You're the master now. You're creating that. Don't say they were this, they were that, and they had these problems, and these were things that kept us apart. Don't say that, because then you've got to go through all that garbage to get to what you're really interested in having, a happy relationship with your family. So, live the things that you're learning here or anywhere else, and apply them in your life so beautifully. When I was teaching religious science, I had a class of 100 students up in Minneapolis, and I taught them the first year of religious science. And I was so gung-ho and so sold on the philosophy of Ernest Holmes and the teachings of religious science, and still believe them quite sincerely. And as I taught the class, I generated my enthusiasm into the class. I told them the answers to all the questions, but I told them everything else too. You got to do that. How can you expect them to answer a question if they don't know the answer? And so I told them all the answers, and but I didn't say I was telling them the answer. I was telling them the answer in such a fascinating, exciting way that they couldn't wait to come and spend those several hours with me each evening. It's 3 hours, in fact. It was a wonderful class. And there was 100 people there. And Peggy Carter was attending it too, and she's such a self-confident person. She's off on her own track half the time. And she would come back and she'd say, what did I miss? What did I miss? And I'd say, well, this is what you missed. Usually it's just a week. And so she'd be able to pick up and where we left off. And every one of the students, of those 100 students in that class, got 100% except one who got 99. You see, when you get the excitement and enthusiasm in there about the teaching, and all of them were miracle workers because they put to practice the teachings that they had from the first year. Now, when I give a talk or a seminar, everybody gets so excited about it. They want to be close to me. They want to stay with me. They want to do the courses. They want to do all the things that I'm doing because they say they want what I have. They want that. They think that's wonderful. And so I have Ellen there to take care of it whenever she comes. And she goes out and lassos them all in and says, here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. But you see, it's practicing what you're learning. When I was in Unity, we were in Unity School of Christianity in Kansas City, Missouri first, and then we moved out to Lee's Summit. And when I was there, I was studying to be a minister, a Unity minister, and it was a great, great program. We had, as I tell you again and again, May Rowland, my Gestapo agent, who would sit on all of us students as though she had an iron club in her hand and said, do not make mistakes. Do not. And of course, that wasn't really the right attitude, but we didn't make mistakes because we wanted to stay in the program. So she taught us in a heavy way. But We knew about May Roland. We knew that she was a master. We knew that she was a miracle worker. We knew that when she spoke her word, tornadoes split around her house. And truly, that's what happened. We knew all of the things that she did, and does, all the things that she is. She was just a fabulous lady, you know. And so we could do nothing but respect her, even though her iron hand was heavy to take. But what her iron hand did to us was to teach us humility. And that humility we have with us for the rest of our life in a joyous, wonderful way. It needs a little polishing now and then, but it's always there, and we don't have far to get it polished to have it be in divine order. You see, these are things that each one of us are paying attention to in our life, at least we should be. The acts of kindness. What kind of acts of kindness are you doing? May Roland never gave us a compliment. May Roland said, "Do not make mistakes as you type these letters to the people in Silent Unity. Do not make mistakes on the envelope. Do not." And so we didn't. And when we got to the point where we didn't, then she moved us up into the next level of typing letters. Then she moved us up into the next level of doing other things that were equally important. And she didn't say, "You're good." She didn't say, "You made it." She just moved us. And we knew it. We knew it. And we honored that position that she moved us into. You see, that was before the days of automatic letter typing, and before the days of computers where once you got it down, you just type in what you want, merging and stuff like that, you know. But what a wonderful lesson time that was. What a wonderful lesson time. Yes, all of us are very blessed with all of the things that happen in our life. If we will take what we learn and live it, people will come to us and compliment us on what we have expressed in our life. They will not flatter us, because there's no need for flattery. There's no need for them to want to get close to us, because we are close to everybody. We love everyone, but we create them in our thought, in our image, in our perfection. And that's pretty wonderful. So think on these things and know them. A breath of kindness is more moving than a gale of flattery. And that's what it's all about. Have a lovely day, and know that I am thinking about you, loving you and blessing you and filling you with my recognition that all is good and perfect in your life now and forevermore.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you. I love you.